This is the School Success Podcast, a podcast for school leaders to learn from other school leaders what's working and what's not, and to get inspiration and encouragement, as well as strategies to grow school enrollment, connect with families, retain teachers, recruit teachers, and everything in between. You guys are heroes, and I cannot thank you enough for pouring into this next generation that's coming behind us. My goal is you will take at least one thing away from every episode that you can take back to your school to make it better than it is right now. Please enjoy the School Success Podcast. Hey, school success makers, welcome to another edition of the School Success Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Slater, and I'm joined by a new friend who's currently in the States, but is actually from Africa, running a school over there. His name is Sean Singa, and he is the headmaster of Awesome Christian School over there, and I'll let him talk all about it here in just a few minutes. But before I pass it off to him, I want to make sure you guys are tuning into all our episodes. We launch them weekly. You can check them all out, and you can check them out on our website as well, schoolsuccessmakers.com, if you've missed any in the past. But you guys are in for a treat today. So I'm actually going to pass it off to our guest to introduce himself and what he's doing. So, Sean, welcome to the podcast today, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mitchell. Good to be here today.
It's going to be a fun one, man. And I always like to start off the episode the same way, where if I was to come visit you, I know you're currently in the States and you're going to be going back to start some more schools in Africa. But if I was to visit where your school is located, what would you say, Mitchell, you got to do this to experience the area? Maybe it's certain types of food, going to see certain things. What would you say I have to do to experience it fully?
Wow. I'm originally from the Congo, and the Congo is very vast. It's a huge nation, and we have so many different things. But so if you come just for a few days, you most likely be in the capital city, which is Kinshasa. And then Kinshasa, I would say, you have to go see the waterfalls that's nearby called Zongo Falls. You have to try our fufu. You know, there's different fufus in Africa, but each nation has its own. And I'm not saying that ours is better, but, you know, you have to try our fufu. That's will be great.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sounds good, man. All right, I love it. Well, let's jump into hearing your backstory. I'd love to get kind of like where you got to, how you got to where you are today, and why starting a Christian school, why starting it where you started it in Africa. Kind of get some backstory before we jump into some of the questions I have for you today.
So yeah, in 95, I came to the US for the first time to go to a university. I went to different universities and graduated finally at the University of Baltimore in Maryland. And met my wife there. We got married, had three children. We attended a church in the Towson area. And from that church, I became a pastor there. That church was serving there as a missionary pastor. And from there, we went back to Africa as church planters. And so when we were working as church planters in Africa, the Lord has opportunity for us to start a Christian school. So in 2013, we started a Christian school named Kinshasa Christian School. And today, 2023, it's been 10 years that we've been, doing that. And we've had so many successes in the work that we've been doing that now we're working on starting similar schools, taking the same model we've done in Congo and doing other nations in Africa. So that's where we are at this point.
I love it. So you started this Christian school. I'm assuming you've learned a lot from start to finish here in the last 10 years. Tell me a little bit about the makeup of the school. Like when you started, how many students, maybe now how many students? And then what's the kind of the goal for this specific campus in the next couple of years?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we started with 9 students in 2013. And of those 9 students, 5 were in our home. So we had our own three children were in the school. And we had 2 kids that we were fostering. We had 2 foster kids. And so that was the 5. And we had 4 kids coming from outside. And our school is tuition-based, and the tuition for one student a year wasn't the rents. So we went through a lot of hardship to try to get that the school going. And every single month, I'll come to my family and just say, I think we're just going to close this month because we can't make it. And I'm so glad to be able to say it's been 10 years, you know, in going. So we've been, I have some amazing, amazing support from God, because most of the time when we go back and try to figure out how did we make it, it's really hard to understand what really happened in those 10 years, but we're here. So now with what, where we are at, the local school, we would like to go from a day school. I mean, we want to add to the day school a boarding school, so that we've had so many people from other provinces in Congo that would like to come to the school, and they don't, you know, they don't have family members or anything like that where the kids could stay. So we feel like that brings us to a place where we can open a boarding school so that people from other provinces can come. And we went, so from 9 students, today we had 184 students.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And do you have capacity to grow bigger than that at that specific campus to fit more students?
At that specific campus, we can go to 200.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're close. Is it, now I would love to, because I don't know the education landscape in Congo or in Africa in general at all. Like, is there any funding from the government for schooling at all? I know you're privately, you know, a private Christian school, but is there any funding for public education there? And how does that work? What does it look like?
So we don't have any funding coming from the state. The Congo, we don't go by the Congolese educational program. We actually use an American program that we teach there. So our students, the Congo is a French-speaking nation, but our students learn in English. And the reason is that our vision is to make leaders. So we understand that English is the business language, you know, wherever you go. So we want to teach the kids so that they can be successful wherever they go. And most of our kids, when they graduate from our school, they come to the US for university, or they go to Canada. Some of them have gone to Kenya and South Africa, to many English speaking nations, but they also go to French speaking nations. Like, we have one that went to France. So we are teaching in French. So, but the Congo has also a national program that will teach in French. And of those programs, there's some schools that will be free. The government provides for the schools. But that is, you know, the quality of the school and everything is very low. Most parents prefer to send their children to a private school. So over 95% of schools there will be private schools.
Wow.
Yeah.
So obviously with some of the questions we asked with the podcast, like, I would love to just hear some of the challenges that you're currently kind of up against. I know you've had a whole bunch over the last 10 years, I'm sure, but maybe some of the current ones you guys are challenged with, and then how are you navigating and combating those challenges? Hey, School Success Makers, just a really quick break from the episode to highlight our amazing sponsors over at America's Christian Credit Union. They are celebrating 65 years of service this year, and they provide essential school banking services and a tuition financing program for schools looking to reduce their risk and administrative burden. And you guys can find out all about them on their website, americaschristiancu.com/schools. That's americaschristiancu.com/schools. They are amazing over there, and I always like to say, if you're a school that collects tuition and you have a hard time collecting all of tuition at the end of the year, maybe it comes around May, June, you're like, man, we only got collected 95 or 98% of what tuition was owed to our school. One of the things you can do is have your parents get a tuition financing loan through the credit union, and then they pay the credit union directly, and you get your funds up front at the beginning of the year as the school. So you don't have to chase people throughout the year, and you can focus on what you do best, and that is loving and educating your students. And it doesn't cost your school anything to do it. So check them out online, americaschristiancu.com/schools. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, the you know, like I said, most of the, you know, the whole program is an American program. So most of our books are coming from here. We do work with Bob Jones University's books mostly. We use some Abeka books and some Apologia for science. But getting the books from here to there, that's one of the biggest issue. And so this year, we shipped a container to the Congo, and the shipping, it was just a nightmare. I just finished the whole thing yesterday, the day before yesterday. And it's been 2 months process trying to get it out of the ports. So those are huge challenges. You know, I had planned, I think that I spent $4,000 to $5,000 more than what I planned to spend because of that thing. So it's one big thing. And there's the usual challenges for most things done in Africa, where the things are not clear, processes are not clear. You know, you can do something today and tomorrow they say, you know, you have now to pay for this, or you have to pay this much for that. So those are huge challenges. And there's the challenge of teaching in English, in a French speaking nation. So most parents don't just come. It's parents have to understand why we're doing that in English to bring their kids. And so we always feel like we're working against the culture. You know, the culture want to go in one way and we're coming on in the other way. And the Christian perspective, you know, a Christian school bring a lot of challenges where people ask, you know, are you training people to become pastors? Or, you know, so once they graduate, what do they do? They can do anything. It's just that, you know, we use some Christian doctrine in what we teach. So it's different, but in that, but we still, it's still the same education. So
that's awesome.
Those are some of the challenges. Yeah.
What is, if you don't mind me asking, like, what is compared to the States, just even for the American listeners, like what is tuition costs at a school over there compared to here? I'm sure it's obviously drastic, but just to kind of give people, even just listening, an idea, like there's a whole different world over there when it comes to education and how it's structured.
Definitely. So the tuition in our school goes from $2,000 in kindergarten. This is a year, $2,000 US dollars, to $4,700 high school.
Okay.
So for the average Congolese person, that's a lot of money. Some of them, that's not so much. We do have another American school there that is sponsored by the embassy. That one is $22,000. So just for you to see the, you know, it's a lot of money, you know, for us, the $2,000 to $4,000. But there are schools that are more expensive than ours there. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that is okay. That's crazy. I didn't think there'd be one that high in the Congo. Yeah. Well, okay. So you got some challenges. You got some things that are going good. I'd love to hear like what's going really, really good for you with school wise. You've shared some good wins, but anything else you'd like to brag about with what's going on there?
Yeah. I mean, most of our kids, when they come to the US, they get into honors programs at universities here. So academically, our program is rigorous. And we do have, you know, some very encouraging stories about kids that came here and got introduced to drugs and all kind of stuff. And they call us to say, you know, I was in this situation, but I remember the things that you guys were telling us in assemblies. I remember how you were, you know, encouraging us in the Lord, and I stuck to my values. I did not, you know, give in to these things. So there are awesome stories about, you know, how well the academics have helped them. Kids that were like, we used to complain of all the writings that you gave us, you know, 10 pages, 15 pages. But in university, just like, that's become so easy to do because we were doing that in high school already. And, you know, the encouraging stories about, you know, how they are able to be strong in the Lord because of what they received from the school. So, yeah.
Good deal. Any other cool wins or anything to share that God's doing with the school?
Yeah, there's, you know, even the kids that are staying in the Congo, because every kid that graduate from our school, they don't have the opportunity to go outside of the Congo. So some of them stay in the Congo because, you know, their parents don't have the means, you know, for them to be overseas. And so one of them just sent me last week a text saying that he finally graduated from high school, I mean, from university. And I think it's been 6 or 7 years. So it wasn't easy for him. He took a lot of semesters that he couldn't go to school because he didn't have the money. Actually, his story is just an awesome one. His father was a pastor and got into a car accident and died when he was coming from visitation, you know. And so when my wife and I went to this church and we heard the story, we decided to take the kids to our school for free so that, you know, we give the kids that opportunity to have good education. So when after he graduated from our school, he had a hard time going through college, but he finally graduated and he was in music. He graduated in the School of Music and he was the first person to graduate in this program that had to do with the guitar. And he was just, you know, so thankful for that. And he sent me a message and he was just like, you know, there's a lot of awesome little stories like that coming from, you know, we call it a family. We're such a small school that we know what's going on in each person's lives. So yeah, a lot of good stories like that.
Good deal. And then for like Congo, I would love to hear real quick too, what is the, you know, so these students are going to school, a lot, you said a lot of them are going to the States for university. Is there a specific, like what is the driving industry force for Congo? Are your students going to learn a specific trade or industry to come back to use in Congo? And like, what is the, you know, what is the driving force of the economy there specifically? I guess like a little bit of makeup of like, are the students getting into something specific when they get out of your school? Or are they going to get something to come back and do? What does that kind of look like?
Yeah, Mitchell, you know, that question is something that I've thought about many times because I have been struggling with should we as an institution direct the kids to what will be useful and good for the nation, or should we just let them go with their passion, whatever they, you know, at this point, what we've done is you want to do music? Yes, go ahead. We're going to walk with you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to do everything. You want to do math? I don't know why, but go ahead. You can do math if you want to, you know, so that's the kind of things that we've done. They go into the, you know, the different things. Our three children, our first one went into cinema. So he likes to make movies and all kind of things, and actually goes to Africa every month, every year. He goes to Africa for about 2 weeks to a month, where he's going to train you know, the people in Congo to make movies and train them to act and all these things. So he does that every year. And our second one, he went into music. He's produced, I think, two CDs so far his own. And our third one, she is into family and children development, you know, that's what she, you know, so everyone goes into whatever is their passion. And yeah, so we will, at this point we don't, but I've thought about you know, going to the kid and saying, you know what, we need the economy has a need for engineers. Maybe some of you could think about going that route, but at this point we haven't done that.
Okay. All right. And then one of the last questions I had for you was, you're wanting to start additional schools. What's your plan for that? I just like to hear, like, are they all going to be in Congo, or are you wanting to go outside into different, you know, countries, provinces and stuff? Like, what does that look like? And what's your plan for rolling out additional new schools?
Yeah. So the model is this, you know, we look at different nations. So the other schools are going in different nations. For example, right now we're looking into Uganda, Cameroon, and Kenya. So this in 2024, we will travel to those nations and do some analysis, study analysis to see how can we do this and is it going to be possible? And then we're going to try to connect with some partners. We want to partner with churches. So it is not going to be really our school. We want to encourage the churches to start schools because we believe, you know, Africa is the only, it's not really the only, but it's one of the places that will, that's the population increases in such a way that in 2050, the Africa will double, the population will double, according to statistics. So if we look at it this way, if the education system remains the same, it's going to be such a burden that most nations will not be able to grow properly the education. And so we need extra help. So I'm telling the churches, I think that you are the solution for the problem that is coming. So, and most churches would be like, yes, but we don't know how to do this. So we come and work alongside them and tell them we've studied this. It is possible. It's feasible. We'll work with you. We will train the people and all that. We will be able to do that. So that's what we are planning to do. So it will be in different nations. Some churches may have an affinity to a certain nation, you know, for one reason or another. They love, for example, Togo, and we'll be like, okay, let's look into Togo, how we can make it happen. And, you know, we just help them making that happen. So our vision is to take what has worked in Congo and try to make it to send it to as many places as we can in poor nations. Somebody came from Brazil and told me, you know, he would like to start something in Brazil when he heard my story. And so we are not just restricted to Africa. I'm African, so I'm naturally going to that. But, you know, it's possible we'll be doing something in Brazil, but we don't know at this point.
So, Sean, you were mentioning that the population was supposed to double by 2050. Is that, were you talking about the whole continent of Africa or just like Congo was going to double?
No, it's the whole continent of Africa. The growth rate is such, according to statistics, the growth rate is such that by 2050, the population will double. Wow. In Africa. Yeah. And the good thing is that African nations are kind of getting into changing the way they do business. So economically, they're doing better. But when you look at the education system, it is not moving. It's just private people like us that are doing some things. So I'm hoping even in the future to be able to speak to some head of states in Africa to kind of see what's going on with this. But at this point, I want to talk to church leaders and just say, you know what, we can have an impact in Africa if we do this. If not, the poverty of Africa will have an impact in rich nations. You know, we do this and help them fish for themselves, so to speak, or later on, we just keep on pouring funds, money into Africa to help them for every problems they could have.
Hey, School Success Makers, just a really quick break to highlight one of our amazing sponsors, and that is ClassReach. Now, ClassReach supports schools of all sizes from application to graduation. Take charge of your school with ease, power, and mobility using ClassReach, the school management software administrators and teachers love using. You can get your free demo at ClassReach.com. That's ClassReach.com. They are amazing people, and they provide this amazing SIS software for you to keep track of your students' grades, communicating with families that are enrolled, and a whole bunch more. So again, check it all out on their website, ClassReach.com. They are awesome. All right, now back to the show. Yeah, so. And what I love about, like, at least with America right now, and I'm sure like there's so much other things other countries are doing, but just what I've seen in America, there's so much happening in education right now that is, honestly, in my opinion, like very much for the good. Like they're being really people are being really efficient and they're trying new things. And the things that I've seen is like the one room schoolhouse model, where these schools are taking one room, having ages 5 to 12 with one teacher, and they're like 15 students, 20 students, having these little schools, or the micro school model where there's, you know, maybe a hybrid where there's, they're at the school half the week and the other half they're home. Like there's all these different ways to do schooling. You know, I was homeschooled my entire life. So obviously my mom homeschooled my brothers and I, so very, very unique in that essence. But like what I love to see is like these churches, like you said, like most of them, they have a building that they're in that's theirs. They're not all of them rent from a place, but they have a building. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about a school, I wanted to make sure these churches know you don't have to start a school of 1,000 students. It's not what we're talking about. You could literally take a room and have a church or have a school in there with 5 to 10 students and a teacher. You know, like there's so many things you can do. I think the perception of what a school is a lot of very warped in a lot of people's minds. So like if all these churches were to start a tiny little school, like it would definitely, like you're saying, it would solve that problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the principle of the starfish on the, you know, on the shore, on the beach, you know, if you can just help one of them, you would have done so much for that one. So having a, like you say, a school with 10 kids, for those 10 kids, you don't know what kind of leaders is in those 10 kids, you know, those 10 kids, what kind of difference they'll make into their communities. So it's, yeah, we do have really a lot that we can offer. And the schools that we do, they are designed to be self-sustained. So it is just the starting point. We need them just to start and being also there to assist. So for the duration, so that, you know, it's not a sprint, it's going to be a marathon. So we need someone that can help the process, but the schools are designed to be self-sustained. And I'm here in the US and the school is functioning well in the Congo because it's self-sustained. It doesn't mean me to be looking and breathing over it. You know, it's the principle of making disciples. You make them and you let them run the thing. So if the church can do that, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'd love you to share, to kind of wrap it up, close it out, like a piece of advice that you would want to share with other school leaders that are listening. What would that piece of advice be?
The piece of advice, I mean, I've been in many conferences here in the U.S., and I feel like we do have here in the U.S. so much good stuff, good teaching, good programs and things. What I would advise people to do really is to have that heart to educate kids, you know, because yes, we have all these things that are helpful, and sometimes we forget why we do what we do, and we teach, we impart and pour into the young generations because we just love them and we want them to do better than we've done. And even if the programs weren't there, even if all the supports and materials weren't there, we still have to do this. So we still have to just have that love, you know, and sometimes, especially, you know, when the month of May start coming around, you're just tired, you've done so much, you know, you have to remember why you do that and just keep on loving those kids and keep on just, you know, desiring for them to be all that they can be. So, you know, if we can always keep that in our minds, I think that's, it helps us going the long run.
Love it, man. I am so thankful for you and what you're doing in Africa, for starting the school and looking to start more. I know God's going to do some amazing things, as he already has, but I know he will continue to do that. So just wishing you and your school nothing but the best as you guys continue to educate this next generation and hopefully start more and more schools across the continent of Africa. And maybe, gosh, even South America with the Brazil contact there. But thank you for taking time out of your day. I know it's the week, right, as we're recording this, the week before Christmas. So thanks for taking time out of your day to hop on with me.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me just say this, something that I missed to say, and that is very wrong of me. It is not just me. This school was started by my wife and I. I know in the West book. I said a lot of time, and the we there is my wife and I. She is a big part of what, you know, we've done. She's actually the one that understands the program more than I do. I'm more of the business person, the person who's trying to keep the vision there, and, you know, but she's the one who understands all of those. So I wanted just to mention that Deborah is a big part of what we've, you know, of this school and the whole movement.
Love it. We wouldn't be anything without our wives. So I'm glad, good plug. That's good. I like it. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Hey, man, thank you so much again for being on, and to you and your wife, and wishing you both nothing but the best.
Thank you very much, Mitchell.
Well, again, another huge shout out and a thank you to Mr. Singa for taking time and being on the podcast today. I love what he's doing there in Africa. And I'm just, again, wishing him and his wife nothing but the best as they continue to educate and help the next generation that's coming behind us. They got a lot of exciting things coming, and I'm looking forward to watching it unfold and how they're going to launch some more campuses there in the great continent of Africa. But guys, if you're listening to this and you're a school educator, as you probably are, we have some great resources for you that we do want you to check out, all of them free. First one is our free private Facebook community just for school leaders like yourself. You can go and join that community. It is called School Success Makers. It's, of course, on Facebook. I'm personally in there. Would love to see you in there as well. You can ask questions, meet other school leaders from across the world, and yeah, just start conversations. So that's called School Success Makers there on Facebook. And the other one is we have a free newsletter called the School Success Report that you can sign up for on our website, schoolsuccessmakers.com. Make sure you get that email. That's coming out every week. There's some great articles, shouting out some teachers, giving some good tips and suggestions. Check it out. The team works really, really hard on putting that out. So with good content to help you guys be as successful as you possibly can. So make sure you're getting that. And of course, the podcast, it's free and it comes out every week. So make sure you're tuning in to all the great listeners and people that we have on here. We are here to help and serve you guys. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas, you can submit a question through our website, schoolsuccessmakers.com. Make sure that we're here with a new guest for you and people that you guys need to be listening to be the best teachers that you can be. We appreciate you guys. We'll be back here next week with another amazing guest as usual on the School Success Podcast. We'll see you then.